This summer has been a lot of waiting for our family. We're waiting because my 19-year-old went away to Austria. So we were counting down the days until she was leaving. And then we've been waiting until she's ready to come back, which is 2.5 weeks from now, just so everybody knows, until she'll be back in Canada with us. But then some of my family are going to go join her in Europe, so we've been counting down the waiting until they get to leave on Friday to go with her to Europe. Well, this past Friday, we got to have a different experience of waiting beginning for us. I don't know if you're my Facebook friend or saw this, but my husband decided to cut his deltoid muscle on Friday morning at 10 o'clock in the morning, completely severing the muscle. And so we have been waiting this weekend for surgery so that they can put his muscle back together. And then we'll become a different kind of waiting to see what kind of healing happens with that muscle in his right arm, to see whether he can continue doing the business that we do that is provided for our family. Waiting. It's a very difficult place to be in. As we've been looking at the story of Joseph, we kind of entered into this place of him of sort of waiting and watching God do all of these incredible ups and downs in his life as he was waiting. At 17 years old, he had this moment where he had these two dreams. And the cocky, brash 17-year-old that he was, he made sure that his entire family knew how great he was going to be. And then began the story of waiting and wondering when the fulfillment of those dreams would come. And as we track through his story, we've seen the journey that he's been on. His brothers got ticked off, didn't like him, sold him into slavery. That poor, arrogant young man. And got sold into slavery and bought by Potiphar and was put into this household where God was with him. And through the time of being there, he went from probably the sheep herder all the way up to being second in command in Potiphar's household. Because God was with him. And everything that God was doing in him benefited Potiphar. And it was a good moment for Potiphar. He didn't have to worry about anything except for what he was going to eat that night. And then Potiphar's wife took a liking to him too and accused him of rape. And he was thrown into prison. And the phrase goes, and God was with him. And soon, he became in charge of the prison that he was in as well. Waiting and wondering what God's doing in the midst of all these things can sometimes cause us to question and to process and to wonder what God's up to in the midst of it all. So as we continue Joseph's story today, we're going to see what waiting can do in the heart and the mind of a person. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the things that it teaches us. We thank you for imperfect people and imperfect stories that you still worked through, that you moved in, that you saved a nation from starvation with. Lord, as we open this story, would you instruct our hearts and minds this morning? We want to be a people that is moved by you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I've always wondered about this story, and I've always had lots of questions. And next week, I'm preaching in the chapter after these two. We're doing 40 and 41 today. 42 is even more questions for me, so we'll see what this all hammers out to. But I love the story of this one. It's a bunch of dreams that we're going to encounter as we go through the story. But some of the things that I've never caught, as you read slowly and you're ready to preach on, were just so fascinating this week. And one of them's in here. Sometime later, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt offended their master, the king of Egypt. Pharaoh was angry with his two officials, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker, and put them into custody in the house of the captain of the guard, in the same prison where Joseph was confined. The captain of the guard assigned them to Joseph, and he attended them. Did you catch where he is? Now, in my head, jail meant jail, and it probably did mean jail, obviously. But where's the jail? In the house of the captain of the guard. The very house where he had been in charge of everything. He had been second in command in this place, and now he's the prisoner in the same place. What a humbling experience that would be, would it not? To be taken from being charged to be imprisoned in the same place. And yet we know from just before the beginning of this chapter that Joseph decided to use it for good. to bless the people he's working with, to be a servant to everyone. And again, the warden had nothing to do because Joseph was so good at what he did. Now, after these two men had been in custody for some time, each of the two men, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were being held in prison, had a dream the same night. And each dream had a meaning of its own. When Joseph came to them the next morning, he saw that they were dejected. So he asked Pharaoh's officials, who were in custody with him in his master's house, "Why do you look so sad today?" Not, "Who cares what their problem is? They're prisoners like me, what does it matter?" But, "No, I'm here serving. What's up? Why are you so sad today?" "We both had dreams," they answered, "but there is no one to interpret them." Then Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me your dreams." What an interesting shift. From a man at 17 that was getting the dreams and hearing what God had to say about it, to now being the man that could hear someone else's dreams and interpret them. An incredible gift that God had given him, and not particularly a normal one. If I was to tell you my dream and ask you to tell me what my dream meant, probably you'd have no idea. It may be the food I ate yesterday. It may be that God's speaking to me, but often dreams have importance to a person's own story. So if you want to know interpretation of a dream that God's maybe speaking to you, then you ask God. And you think about the significance in your own life. But to give that dream to someone else and say, "You tell me what that means," is a gift that God had given Joseph. And one that he gave freely. These were important men. And he could have used it to his advantage, but he chooses not to. So the chief cupbearer told Joseph his dream. He said to him, "In my dream, I saw a vine in front of me, and on the vine were three branches. As soon as it budded, it blossomed, and its clusters ripened into grapes. Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and squeezed them into Pharaoh's cup and put the cup into his hand." Joseph's interpretation is that those three branches are 3 days. And because he squeezed the grapes, that this would mean that he would become reinstated or restored to the place that he'd had before. It's a good dream with a good interpretation. Well, now the baker's all excited about this. When the chief baker saw that Joseph had given a favorable interpretation, because I would imagine not everybody would do that, but this is a good moment, he said to Joseph, "I too had a dream. On my head were three baskets of bread. In the top basket were all kinds of baked goods for Pharaoh. But the birds were eating them out of the basket on my head." Joseph's interpretation to this one was not so kind. Three baskets, 3 days, and then Pharaoh will impale you on a pole and the birds will eat you. I'm sure it's not something the baker wanted to hear. But he mentioned the cupbearer, "When this happens to you, I gave you the interpretations, and when this happens to you, will you mention me to Pharaoh? I know that you will live. This will be an important part of your story. Mention me to him." A man that was waiting to see what God would do, and maybe a little bit in this moment is trying to manipulate the outcome. Trying to see what God would do, but mention me so that this will be my freedom, my way out. And the story goes, the chief cupbearer, however, did not remember Joseph. He forgot him. What would that feel like? A man, you interpret it well, you know he's going to be excited, he's going to go back there. This is your one hope, right? If this guy tells the right guy, I'm getting out of here. And the first day you're excited and hopeful, and the second day you're holding on to that hope, and the third, and the fourth, and the fifth, and the sixth, and weeks, then months, and nothing. And Joseph's left with a choice in that moment of, do I trust God? Still, even though things are not coming together, even though I've done the right things, even though I've offered my services to other people, even though I have given interpretations that were right, honoring him in the process, only God interprets dreams, do I trust him still. It's a challenge for all of us when we're stuck in the waiting, isn't it? Do we internalize it and become bitter, or do we continue to leave open hands with God? When 2 full years had passed, not just a little forgotten. Pharaoh had a dream. He was standing by the Nile when out of the river there came up 7 cows, sleek and fat, and they grazed among the reeds. After them, 7 other cows, ugly and gaunt, came up out of the Nile and stood beside those in the riverbank. And the cows that were ugly and gaunt ate up the 7 sleek, fat cows. And then Pharaoh woke up. I can imagine so. I'm thinking that was a pretty disturbing dream. Cows don't eat cows, let alone sickly, thin cows that eat other cows. He fell asleep again in a second dream. 7 heads of grain, healthy and good, were growing on a single stalk. After them, 7 other heads of grain sprouted up, thin and scorched by the east wind. The thin heads of grain swallowed the 7 healthy, full heads. Then Pharaoh woke up. It had been a dream. A dream that stuck with him. A dream that was so important in his mind, he began to wonder who or what could interpret this dream. So he started telling people these dreams. Someone please make sense of the things that I have dreamed in this space. Wouldn't go away, causing him problems. And in that moment of not having an answer to any of those things, oh, look, the cupbearer remembers. Then the chief cupbearer said to Pharaoh, "Today I'm reminding of my shortcomings. Pharaoh was once angry with his servants, and he imprisoned me and the chief baker in the house of the captain of the guard. Each of us had a dream the same night, and each dream had a meaning of its own. Now a young Hebrew was there with us, a servant of the captain of the guard. We told him our dreams, and he interpreted them for us, giving each man the interpretation of his dream. And things turned out exactly as he interpreted them to us. I was restored to my position, and the other man was impaled." So Pharaoh sent for Joseph, and he was quickly brought from the dungeon. When he had shaved and changed his clothes, he came before Pharaoh. I love little details that the Bible sticks in there. Before he got ready. I don't know why that's important, but I love it. To my head, it's just so cool. Doing something, getting ready to go, and he shows up before Pharaoh. Pharaoh says to Joseph, "I had a dream, and no one can interpret it. But I have heard it said of you that you can hear a dream and you can interpret it." "I cannot do it," Joseph replied to Pharaoh. "But God will give Pharaoh the answer he desires." Oh, the humbleness of a man that has had life sift him and shape him and mold him into one that can say, "I can't do it, but God can give you the interpretation." Don't think for a second this is about me, my story, how I've done things. This is about God Almighty and what he would say to you through these dreams. Then Joseph said to Pharaoh, "The dreams of Pharaoh are one and the same. God has revealed to Pharaoh what he is about to do. The 7 good cows are 7 years, and the 7 good heads of grain are 7 years. It's one and the same dream. The 7 lean, ugly cows that came up afterward are 7 years, and so are the 7 worthless heads of grain scorched by the east wind. They are 7 years of famine. It is just as I said to Pharaoh. God has shown Pharaoh what he's going to do. 7 years of great abundance are coming throughout the land of Egypt, but 7 years of famine will follow them. Then all the abundance in Egypt will be forgotten, and the famine will ravage the land. The abundance in the land will not be remembered because the famine that follows will be so severe. The reason the dream was given to Pharaoh in 2 forms is that the matter has been firmly decided by God, and God will do it soon." 2 dreams of the same idea, Pharaoh, so you cannot miss it. You need to know that this is an important thing. Pay attention. Now here's again a man that gives the interpretations of the dreams with no expectation. Being asked and telling. forthcoming to whatever God had laid upon his heart to show him. But it's interesting because what comes next in the story is one that could have gone two very different ways. See, if I'm a man that's stuck in prison for something I didn't do, Joseph and Potiphar's wife, and I've been there for a long time waiting and wondering what God's going to do in this space, as if that isn't bad enough, I got there because I was a slave, because of what my brothers had done to me. Now I'm standing before the king of the land that is in charge of everything. He could have bargained for his freedom, don't you think? All these things are going to come true, and I will tell you just how to fix it if the world of political exchanges would make sense in this place, and he would know them. But he doesn't. He gives Pharaoh the interpretations, and then he gives him a solution. And now let Pharaoh look for a discerning and wise man to put him in charge of the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh appoint commissioners over the land to take a fifth of the harvest of Egypt during the 7 years of abundance. They should collect all the food of these good years that are coming and store up the grain under the authority of Pharaoh to be kept in the cities for food. This food should be held in reserve for the country to be used during the 7 years of famine that will come upon Egypt, so that the country may not be ruined by the famine. Not only does Joseph choose surrender to God to give the interpretations of what those dreams were, but he gives them the solution. He tells Pharaoh how to save a nation. For the sake of the nation, for the sake of the people, for the sake of Pharaoh, as he was called to. A servant that could have bargained for freedom first, but came open-handed to whatever God would have there. In that waiting and in that moment, it wasn't about his own future. Could we say the same of us in that space? Would it be that easy? Fully surrendered man before the Lord. So the plan seemed good to Pharaoh and to all his officials. So Pharaoh asked them, "Can we find anyone like this man? One in whom is the Spirit of God?" It was not missed. They knew God was with this man, and they chose to put him in charge. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Since God has made all this known to you, there's no one so discerning and wise as you. You shall be in charge of my palace, and all my people are to submit to your orders. Only with respect to the throne will I be greater than you." This man that waited and wondered, and I'm assuming still wonders. How are the brothers getting into this story? What are they all bowing down to me? How is this working? And yet allowing God to show him the next steps before him, which in this case meant being in charge of a kingdom that was not his own. For people that were not his own. In a place that was not called home. But with a sense of fully surrendering to God to be a servant wherever he put him. There's some fascinating details in the story. He ends up marrying a woman who is the daughter of a priest in the local culture. They have two boys. And the fullness of the good years come. So when Joseph was 30 years old, he entered in the service of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. 30 years old. 17 when the story starts, 30 years old, 13 years of his life doing this, wondering what was happening. Joseph went out from Pharaoh's presence and traveled throughout Egypt. During the 7 years of abundance, the land produced plentifully. Joseph collected all the food produced in those 7 years of abundance in Egypt and stored it in the cities. In each city, he put the food grown in the fields surrounding it. Joseph stored up huge quantities of grain, just like the sand of the sea. It was so much they stopped keeping records because it was beyond measure. Servant heart that went fully into work to get the job done to save a nation. Trusting that God was still in the move. I mean, it had to be difficult. Like, the cupbearer's dream comes true. The baker's dream comes true. Pharaoh's dreams come true. And in some sense, he's still in the waiting and the wondering of what God was doing. And as I was thinking and processing this week about this story, it struck me that the waiting is an important place of character growth, isn't it? The waiting is where sometimes the impatience starts to wear off. The waiting is where God can dig down into the little places of our hearts and weed things out that need to be weeded out. The waiting is for our benefit, for our reliance to grow on God. The waiting, as difficult as it is the thing that often produces good things in us, even when we don't feel like we want it. But what do you do in the waiting? What do you do while you're waiting for whatever God has next? I think sometimes we get so lost in the thing that's coming at future, we forget that we still live life now. My weekend with my husband waiting for surgery didn't mean life stopped. We're waiting for surgery. He's in surgery right now, just so you know. But we didn't stop. Life still continues. Still do the things you're called to be faithful in. Waiting is something that we continue to keep digging in God's word, learning and hearing from him, trusting him each and every day with open hands for him to instruct our hearts about the places that we are. Waiting means that we're still in community with people, life groups, church services, whatever that is, so that we can learn how to love and forgive and do all the things that God's calling us to do. That happens in community with each other. Waiting in surrender to see what the Lord will do. Knowing that, as we saw in Esther and we're seeing in Joseph, that God is always on the move. And he's always faithful and just to take us to the next thing he has for us, even when it looks like life is doing this. And I ask the worship team to come, and we're going to pray and move into our time of communion. So let's pray. God, the waiting sometimes is so difficult. It's hard to understand what you're doing and what you're about. It's hard even sometimes to see how you're moving in the things beyond us. But Lord, we want to be able to come to you open hand again and again. Show us where it is that we've held on to bitterness because we haven't understood your plan. Is it?